This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, joined by Lim Soo Ann and Sharmila Ganesan. Today on the show, as always, we've got two stories for you.
So political parties in East Malaysia have been touted as kingmakers amidst the political developments and also uncertainties that we've seen over the past few days. So we'll take a closer look at what this means and how the federal-state relationship could potentially change in the future.
So there is also a 2 million rainforest trees within a 200-acre rainforest tree nursery in Tanjung Malim, which is containing possibly the largest living gene bank of rainforest trees in Asia. So that's being destroyed and bulldozed. So we're going to discuss the importance of this area and also why the owners of this nursery should be granted a bit more time to replant those trees that we were talking about.
So in relation to both of those stories, we are asking you on Twitter, as the government sorts itself out with this current political crisis, are you concerned that other important issues are being overlooked? So your options are yes or no, this is more important. So you can take that poll or you can share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
So first up, we'll still be looking at the events that have transpired over the past 4 days or so, even though it feels a lot longer than that.
It's like a lifetime.
So just to briefly recap, what's happened on Sunday, there was reports of a possibility of a new ruling coalition that was rumoured to involve UMNO, PAS, Bersatu Warisan, GPS and a faction of PKR. Mm-hmm. And then the next day on Monday, we saw Bersatu announcing that they're leaving Pakatan Harapan, as well as 11 MPs led by Azmin Ali, who left PKR and said that they are forming an independent bloc in Parliament.
And that same day, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad also submitted his resignation as both Prime Minister and also the Chairman of Bersatu. And the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong accepted his resignation but subsequently appointed him as interim prime minister. And then yesterday, we saw Tun Mahathir back at work at the prime minister's office. And as of now, PKR, DAP, Amanah, Bersatu, GPS and Warisan have stated that they support Tun M to remain as prime minister, but no party or coalition currently seems to hold the majority in parliament.
And if you haven't had whiplash yet, yesterday, Comptroller of the Royal Family and Household, Ahmad Fadil Shamsuddin, said that all MPs will be summoned to the palace for a personal interview with the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. Each MP will have 2 to 3 minutes with the Agong, and this is for the Agong to determine who commands the confidence of the House's majority.
And yesterday, His Majesty met with 90 MPs from UMNO and PAS, who arrived at the palace via chartered buses. And today, the Agong is scheduled to meet the rest of the MPs. And news reports have shown that PKR MPs are already at the palace, arriving via a hop-on, hop-off bus. And Amanah and DAP MPs are also at the Istana to meet the Agong.
And so across the station, we've been covering a lot of these developments as they happen and also looking closer at it from different angles as well. So today we'll be taking a closer look at how political parties from Sabah and Sarawak have been and how they will be impacted by the current situation. So earlier today, I got in touch with Professor James Chin. He's the director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania to discuss just that. But first, sort of as a primer and get us all up to speed, he briefly describes the makeup of the political parties in the current state governments of Sabah and Sarawak.
So in Sabah, the way it was is that the ruling party is actually Parti Warisan Sabah.
Mm-hmm.
They are not a formal component of Pakatan Harapan. They're just an ally of Pakatan Harapan. So in Sabah, the state government consists of the Pakatan Harapan coalition plus Parti Warisan. But Parti Warisan is the one that holds the chief minister's post. In Sarawak, it's the reverse. Sarawak is an opposition state where the ruling party is a coalition called GPS.
Mm-hmm.
GPS is the old Sarawak Barisan National. So what happened was, so in May 2018, when Barisan National lost, a lot of the Barisan party started leaving then. So it was at that point that all the Sarawak Barisan National parties left and they formed a new coalition called GPS. So in Sarawak, it's ruled by the opposition GPS and the governing party, Pakatan Harapan, at the federal level, is the opposition in Sarawak.
So with Sabah and Sarawak being described as kingmakers in the current situation, what leverage does Sabah and Sarawak actually have? And with MA63 and oil royalties often brought into the discussion with the federal government, how will these two factor in? Professor James shared his thoughts on this.
So the reason why people take Sabah and Sarawak seriously is because collectively together, they have about more than 50, closer to 60 seats in the Malaysian parliament. But you have to remember, this is not enough to help the new Pakatan to be established, but it will give them enough and even help them to get the two-thirds majority, and that's what Mahathir is looking for. Now, the present circumstances does not allow them to talk about the Malaysia agreement, but I'm sure at the back of the mind of the leaders of Sabah and Sarawak is that if they help to form the new government, they probably expect more concessions on the Malaysia agreement issue, and they probably expect more concession also in terms of development funding for Sabah and Sarawak. But as far as I know, when they pledged to support the Mahathir, nothing was related to Malaysia agreement.
Yesterday, Gabungan Parti Sarawak, or GPS, released its first statement since the turn of events that saw Tun M being appointed interim prime minister. And in that statement, GPS Secretary General Dato' Alexander Nanta Linggi said that GPS expresses its full support for Tun M to remain on as prime minister. So we also asked Professor James whether this was significant.
It is not significant in the sense that if you go back in history in May 2018, after Mahathir or Pakatan Harapan won over Barisan Nasional, GPS actually sent a delegation to Kuala Lumpur immediately to talk to Mahathir. At that point, they were also thinking of joining Pakatan, but they were turned down by Mahathir. So all this while, they've always been supporters of Mahathir, so I don't see any reasons why they would suddenly switch.
So Sarawak is supposed to have state elections soon, possibly next year. And Professor James believes that the current situation will impact the decisions made now in relation to that.
This will have a direct impact on the upcoming Sarawak elections, which must be held next year. But I've been arguing that it will probably be held this year. But now with the creation of this new government and all this political upheaval, they probably have to change the dates again. In terms of the practicalities, what will happen is that if GPS becomes an ally of the new government or even become a component of the new government, then obviously the ground situation in Sarawak will change immediately. There's no more such thing as government and opposition because all the parties will in fact be part of the federal coalition. Mm-hmm. So essentially there won't be any more opposition in Sarawak.
And if a new coalition is formed involving UMNO, PAS and Bersatu, which was initially reported when this whole situation started, it would be a mainly Malay-Muslim coalition. So we asked if this would have an impact on the relationship between the federal government and the state governments of Sabah and Sarawak.
If the upcoming government is a very Malay-centric or Muslim-heavy government, strictly speaking, it will not have much impact on federal-state relationship. But of course, the people in Sabah and Sarawak are hoping for a much more multiracial and diverse government for the very simple reason that people in Sabah and Sarawak live in a very diverse political environment, so they hope to see the whole thing replicated at a federal level. I personally think that it would not be a positive thing, not only for Sabah and Sarawak, but for the whole country, if the new government is too Malay-centric or too Islamic-centric. The reality is that Malaysia is a multi-racial, multi-religious country, mm-hmm. and you really can't have a government that sort of represents the view of one single community or one religion.
Both Sabah and Sarawak have voiced sentiments that they don't always feel like they're on equal footing with the federal government. So will the current situation cause a further divide between the federal government and the Sabah and Sarawak state governments? Well, Professor James doesn't think so.
No. Going forward, what will happen is that whoever forms the government, they still have to deal with the historical grievances of Sabah and Sarawak. As you know, under the previous Pakatan Harapan government, they actually set up a thing called the MA committee at the cabinet level to try to work out the issues and why Sabah and Sarawak is unhappy. My understanding is that that committee has completed its work and they're in the process of compiling a full report. Before the recent political upheaval, they were going to publish the report later this year. Mm-hmm. Now everything is on hold, so we have to wait for the new government to be formed and wait for the new government to decide what they want to do with that report.
So I then asked if it's all now a wait-and-see game for Sabah and Sarawak.
Yes, that's not only for Sabah and Sarawak. I think the whole country has a wait-and-see game. And my only prediction, if you want to call it a prediction, is that the new government will be established quickly because of the nature of the Malaysian political system. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everything will be sorted out either by tomorrow or Friday the latest.
And finally, if I asked if MPs from the two East Malaysian states would have a say in the formation of a new coalition.
They will not have a direct say in the formation of a new coalition, but obviously the leaders of Sabah and Sarawak, Abang Johari from Sarawak, Shafiq Abdul from Sabah, their views will be taken seriously with any new government that is established.
So that was Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, sharing his thoughts on the impact of the current political situation, specifically on Sabah and Sarawak's political parties. So we're going to keep up with, you know, the updates. I will keep you updated throughout the show and, you know, throughout the station, of course. But, you know, if you have any thoughts, tweet us at BFM Radio. You can always send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We're going to take a short break now, but here's the Beatles with All Together Now. You are listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.